Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. All eyes and attention, I suppose, are upon the ball that will drop this evening up in New York and signify the beginning of a new year. We in America have commemorated the new year pretty much the same way for a long period of time. We have commemorated it as a new beginning. And it certainly is, but very oftentimes, if we're not careful, it becomes just a step into the same old, same old. And that can always be determined by looking back at all of the failures that we had planned to be successes last year, but they didn't just turn out that way. Everybody has some unrequited resolutions that they made promises about last year, some changes that were going to occur, some direction that was going to change, and it just didn't happen that way. So here we are on the doorstep yet once again. And those same feelings and same thoughts go across our mind. I suppose probably some folks here have got some resolutions written down, or at least in your mind. Some things are going to change. You're going to do it a different way this year. Going to go about it completely different. And to that I say, well, amen. But if we're not careful, we just go round and round and round and round. And that idea brings about, in honesty, just a great deal of frustration. I am sad to note that this is still, this last week of the year is the greatest risk of suicide there is in any time during the year. More people will take their own life the last week of the year than at any other time during the year. You say, why is that? I think that during this last week, we're forced, because of how we've treated New Year, to look at the failures of the last year. And I think after a period of time of failing and then failing again and then failing again and yet again and yet again, there comes a frustration that nothing in this world can calm. There comes a frustration with life itself. And all at once, there are those that are foolish. And I say that in a humble way, but it is a foolish thing to take your own life. Yet there are some that come to that place where there is just nothing left, at least in their thinking, other than to end it all. To that, I would like to say this morning, rather than end it all, how about beginning it all? And how about looking at a new year as not just another year of the same old, but a year where indeed there will be a difference. We talk about difference and making a difference and being different, but we're not comfortable with that. We're much more comfortable with same old, same old. And so while we like to talk the talk, we don't often walk the walk. I'm sure today if we were to have folks stand and be honest, all of us would be able to probably rehearse some promise that we made, some change that was going to occur as we went into 2017, and we just weren't really successful. Sometimes we got off the ground, but we never gained any altitude, and before long we crashed and burned, and we were right back where we started out. Some of you this morning are feeling that pain of frustration. This was the third or the fourth or the tenth year where you said, this is going to be the year, it's going to be different, but alas, it is just same old failure after failure. I don't believe God's in those things, and I believe that if we would set our direction on God and on His Word, we would be far less frustrated than we often are because we attempt to do things our own way and through our own means and measure. I think that God has a way of changing lives. How many of you know that God specializes in changing lives? God can change lives from the worst of the worst to the best of the best, and He can do it just like that. And if that be so, then ought I not to seek His favor when it comes to making a difference, changing or altering a course into the new year? Proverbs chapter 3 is the passage I'll read this morning. All the years of my life when I was away or when it was a birthday or something like that would get a card. a card from my mother. And my mother was big in cards, and it seemed like every occasion there would come a card while I was away at college, and she was still up north and I was way down in the depths of the South. I would get a card sometimes almost every week, and it was just her way of letting me know that there was someone who cared about the life that I was living. And sometimes it didn't seem like anybody cared. Amen. Sometimes it didn't seem like the people in school cared. Sometimes it didn't appear that the people I worked for cared. Sometimes I looked in the mirror and I didn't much care. But every once in a while I'd get a card, and Mom had a way of just trying to lift your spirits. I said all that to say this: I have never received a letter or a card from my mother in the course of my lifetime that didn't have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 written out by hand for me to read. She wanted me to know that that was something that would make a difference in life. Let me begin in the first verse of Proverbs 3 and read down through verse number 7, if I may, this morning. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs is a book filled with commandments and advice. And you realize that the best commandments and the best advice given are of no effect unless someone keeps those commandments. An unkept commandment is about as worthwhile as an unkept promise. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't amount to anything. For length of days and long life and peace, I don't know of anybody that doesn't desire all three of those things, shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart, the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Here's the verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You realize that every failed New Year's resolution, every attempt and promise at changing or altering our life that ends up in failure are not of the Lord. I think the Lord wants us to navigate this life, to make alterations and changes in our course as we move along. Aren't you glad for the day when the Lord saved your soul and altered the course of your life? I'm glad that He can alter and change a life like no one else can. I don't think we're perfect. And if you haven't gotten that memo yet, see me after the church and I'll make sure that you get the email this week. None of us are perfect. And as such, we're going to be in a life where there are as many ups as there are downs, and as many downs as there are ups. And sometimes the downs go a little further than the ups bring us back. But the truth of the matter is, there's no consistency in life because we're inconsistent people. But I don't believe that that's God's doing. I think the Lord's intent is for God, for His creation, I should say, to enjoy the happiness of the Lord. If you'd think for a moment what it would have been like if Adam and Eve had simply listened to the instruction of God in their life, if they had simply done well when there was only one commandment. Amen. Somebody said you have trouble with 10. Adam and Eve didn't make it with one. But if you'd imagine for a moment what a world we would live in had it been a situation where they had observed and kept that one commandment, I suppose our world would have been populated to its capacity 1,000 times by now. I suppose that we would have had overpopulation, and the scientists are worried to death about it. They're afraid we're going to overcrowd the world and devour all of our resources. There's not going to be any food, sunshine, or water left as far as we go in a short period of time. Now, that's been going to happen for about the last 2,000 years, but we're getting there. We're on our way. Just hang on. The scientists will get it right eventually. But if you can imagine, if you will, God created a creation and put them on the earth that were above the hold of death. Adam and Eve could not die. They were immortals. they would live forever. It was sin that brought death into the world. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Do you realize if our founding fathers, Adam and Eve, had observed God's one commandment and abode in that commandment, that we would have overpopulated this earth? He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And had they done that, what in the world would we have done? And I've said for years, I believe God ought to put all those stars and suns and moons and planets out there for a purpose. And God could have just populated. I think one day, way on out into the future, God will have a universe populated with people that love Him and honor Him and glorify Him and are thrilled just to be part of His creative work. I don't think there'll ever be an end. The universe is constantly expanding. More planets, stars, suns, moons being born on a continuing basis so fast that even our own astronomers can't keep up with it. They're bewildered because they're looking so hard to pat themselves on the back and say, we figured it out. But about the time they get there, boom, there's a billion new stars that they see they've never seen before. God is eternally creating a habitation for people that love Him and can live forever. What a wonderful place. But they messed up one resolution. And as a result, sin came and death by sin came upon all men. Hence the need for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that the gospel has the power to restore us to God's eternal purpose. I'm glad that I didn't forfeit God's eternal purpose. I'm still right in. I'm planning on being around 26 gazillion years from today. I'm making plans for that day as we speak. Going to have a special day that day. Do something perhaps I've never done before. And you say, you really believe you're going to live that long? I believe I'm going to live longer than that. I'm going to live so long that 26 gazillion years will be yesterday, 26 gazillion years beyond, and I shall ever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. But as we pull everything back down in the perspective of 365 days, we really do a bad job, don't we? We don't do so hot. I have come to realize that it's not within man that walketh to direct his steps. The best laid plans of mice and men, and I'll guarantee you, you've made some plans for the last year, for this year, for the one that will end tonight at midnight, and you've been sadly disappointed because what you had planned and what you had dreamed and what you had stated emphatically, this is going to be different, is no different today than it was when we started. And I would add, but not to discourage you, but I would add that most likely we'll go into next year and it will be, you know, shake well and repeat. We'll go right through it all over again. You say, why? Because the problem's with us. But in this passage of Scripture, I find a recipe for success. I think that's the reason my mother again and again and again and again and again, I don't recall ever memorizing these verses. I just read them so many times, they became indelibly stamped on my memory. But in this passage, he gives us simply some words that can guarantee success in the year that's ahead. Now, I don't know what your dreams or ambitions are. I would hope that as a child of God, some of your ambitions would be to be a better Christian, to be closer to Him, to be more effective for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our world is growing darker and darker and darker by the moment. And the sad thing is most Christians are jumping right into the middle of it and enjoying the darkness. They're living the lives of darkness. They've shut out the light of their lives and they're going on and just in filling themselves with all of the junk this world has to hold. And yet there'll be a day in shame when they stand before the Lord and say, I realize that wasn't what I was supposed to be about in the course of my life. I was supposed to be about honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe that if we were to abide by these things in their context here this morning, we would find a potential for perhaps the best year we've ever had. I'll be honest with you, I think this was a good year. I have no complaints. If I could go back, I just wouldn't go back. That'd be my choice. You say, why? It's been a good year. You say, didn't you have any trouble? Had plenty of troubles. But I would be honest with you this morning, the blessings of God far more outweighed the troubles and trials that I encountered this year. The goodness of God shined through on every single day that I lived this year. I don't recall a day where I went to bed at night and said, God, I wish you'd just killed me this morning before I woke up. I'm glad to be alive. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying every... Listen, I'm a candidate for all God wants to do. You say, well, you just need to... No, I just look up to heaven and say, God, if you got anything good laying around up there, maybe something was supposed to go to somebody else. and they messed up and don't get it, send it to me. I'd like to have all the good things of God in my life. I can't imagine what it would take for somebody to commit suicide. I don't want to get suicidal. I want to enjoy every breath, every eye blink. I want to enjoy every part of life. And then to be honest with you, I had a great revelation this year. I'm closer to dying than I am pretty much anything else in life. Now, I'm not on the doorstep of death, and I'm not in flux with some sad disease that's going to claim my life. I'm planning on living every day of my life. But you know what? I found out now that I'm at the point, you know, you live, get to our age, and you live another 25, 30 years, you're way over the hill. If the norm is right, I've got maybe 10, 12 years left. You say, that's horrible. No, that's good. That doesn't bother me at all. You say, why? Two reasons. Number one, I've enjoyed the life that I've had. I'm enjoying the life I'm living. I'm as excited about living today as I was when I turned 14 or 15. God's been good to me. He's never mistreated me. He's never harmed me. He's always shown His smile to me. And Paul said to die is gain. Amen. Amen. Some of you look like to die means you're going to have to go back to the Stone Age and start all over again. And I feel sorry for you because that's a tough part of life. But I'll be honest with you, I think it's a graduation when we leave this world. I think it's a homecoming when we leave this world. I think it's going to the place where all of our heart's desires have been bottled up into one place. I'm looking forward to the day when all of God's saints are home with the Lord forever. But we're still here. And for some, it was a disappointing year, and I hope that next year will perhaps not be as disappointing. Just let me give you these words this morning and apply them as you will, but I think they will be, if you can get these words right in the coming year, you'll do fine. Number one, trust. Trust. What does it mean to trust? Well, we've got limited trust in most cases. We're willing to trust as far as we can control. And when I can't control anymore, which is really where trust begins, isn't it? I kind of back out of the equation there. I'll trust you as long as I can keep my eye on you. I'll trust you as long as I've got a written guarantee. I'll trust, but that's not trust at all. Trust is no guarantee. We talk about trust, and we talk about trusting the Lord, but it's an amazing thing. When things don't go our way, we reveal our true state. I've seen people and heard people pray this prayer. A fellow one time said, God, I trusted you. And I'm thinking, why are you angry then? He was upset about something that had come into his life that he didn't think should have been in his life. Something that didn't belong there, was not part of his plan and his scheme for his existence. And when it happened, he got angry at the Lord, and his anger vented itself in God. I trusted you, as though he were saying, how dare you not do what I demand that you... There's no trust in that. His very prayer was an admission of the lack of trust that he had. You know what trust says? Anywhere, anytime, anyway. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to me. It's taking your druthers off the table. Amen. You say, what in the world is that? That's when people say, I'd rather. It's taking your druthers off the table, saying, God, whatever you want, whichever way you want it to go. There are people that have become so self-centered in this day and time, they do not believe they could be happy unless they got everything they wanted exactly the way they wanted it. And the sadness of that is, number one, you're lying to yourself. And number two, it's never going to be that way anyway. No wonder we're setting our world up for the sadness and dismay that seems to be all about us. When I make it all about me, when I sit down and say, this is the way I want my life to run, and this is the way I want things to go, this is the way things should be. By the time I'm here, I'm going to do this. By the time I'm there, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be this, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to be a part of this, and I'm going to... All of those plans and schemes are nothing more than they can all be spelled with one letter, and it's just a big capital I. And the sad thing is, I think we don't realize until far off into our future that the worst part of our life is I. The thing that disappoints us more than anything else in life is I. The thing that takes us down the wrong path most of the time is I. And we've put all of our trust in that. The Bible here says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Notice that requires your heart. The psalmist said, or the proverb writer of the proverb said, give me thine heart. You know, where you give your heart will determine what goes on in your life. What you put your heart into will determine where the outcome is. You watch these that put their heart and soul into athletics. They become professional athletes, and I have no problem with that if that's what you want. But you realize there comes an end to that. There comes an end to that, and it's all has been and used to be. It's all what I used to do and what I used to could do. Wherever you put your desires, recognize when it comes to an end is going to tell you whether it was worthwhile or not. We put our confidence and our trust and our desire in things that you buy clothes and you say, well, I'm going to get this. I'm going to buy this clothes. It's popular and it's in style and makes me look good. It makes me look trendy. And you go out and you spend a fortune and fill a closet full of those clothes. And in 2 years, you got to go back and buy another closet full. You say, why? Because it's I am the problem. I is the problem, if I use proper English. I is the problem. It's that I that's there. Do you ever notice sin can't be spelled with I right in the middle of it? Sin, I, that's the problem. I. It's not the sin, it's the I that's right in the middle of it. The truth of the matter is, when I try to direct my own steps and I try to make my own path, when I try to make those decisions, when I get real bold and say, this is the way it's going to do, when I want to be able to sing, I did it my way, I die the death of a lousy drunk. Just like the guy who did it his way. You watch the Hollywood stars and you watch the facade on the screen as they're the champion of the day or the hero of the moment, and they can walk on air and they can rescue the perishing and they can do all kind of things. And then you see real life. You see real life and they get old and they can't walk and somebody's got to push them around in a wheelchair. And then we talk about what they used to be. Let's not talk about what they used to be. Let's talk about what they are. They're old and over the hill and filled with pain and agony and regrets. And they don't want to die, but they don't know what else to do. You say, but yeah, they've got all the money. I remind you that more of them commit suicide than normal people do with all that money. It doesn't work that way. So what's our word? Trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Notice it requires your heart. Meaning what? Meaning as I confront this coming year, as I began to put my plans and my directions together, and by the way, I think you should. I think you should have a direction. I think you should have some goals. Maybe not for the year, maybe for the week. Amen? It'd do a world of good for some of you just to read your Bible every day for a week. That'd be a great change in your life. Just to be in church every service for 1 week would be a great change in your life. But we're wanting God to change everything instead of us. But just trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord means I recognize that, number one, God is in control. You know, God's promised some things. It's an amazing thing. You can read different books by different authors, and they can talk about how many times this is in the Bible or how many times that's in the Bible. And it's always been kind of an anomaly about how many promises are there in the Word of God. And you find some that said there are 365 promises in the Bible. You find that written. And they say God's given us a promise for every single day of the year. Then you'll find other people say there are 5,000 promises in the Bible. You say, well, what's the difference? Why is there so many on one side and so few on the other? I submit to you, God gives you as many as you need. Now, how many do you need? God gave you all the promises that you need to get by in this life. God, it's a matter of trusting Him, giving Him my heart. He promised. I can trust Him. Has God ever failed to carry out His promise? Has God ever failed to bring to pass in your life anything that He promised? I've talked to some people, said, preacher, God failed me. But after a short conversation, I find out it wasn't God that failed. I've had those conversations on many occasions where somebody was angry and upset with the Lord. And they were upset that God would do what He did instead of what they wanted Him to do. And then I find out that they got angry at God because He didn't play by their rules when they wouldn't play by their own rules. You'll find anybody that wants to break the rules of your own life, God's not going to play along that game at all. The truth of the matter is, I've got to learn to trust God, meaning what? Giving Him my heart. It's It's not just trusting him for my mental ascent. It's not just trusting that he's out there. It's not just trusting that he's this in the ether out there floating around. It is he is a personal God. He is a friend. He is a companion. He is a director of life. He's one that can help me through the circumstances I'm dealing with right now. I submit to you, when you come to one of those places, as many people do, where they push God completely out of the circumstance, and they know what God said, and they know what God's word said, and they said, I've done that here, and I've done that here, and I've done that here, but I'm not going to do it here. I submit to you, you never did trust him. You never did trust him. You thought you trusted him. You simply used him as an excuse. You understand, if you trust him through the good times, you can trust him through the bad times. If you can trust him in the easy times, you can trust him in the difficult times. We've got a new brand today, and the new brand is this: I'll trust him as long as I'm getting what I want, the way I want it, and on time. I'll trust him as long as he's just pouring all kind of good things on me. I'll trust him as long as I'm happy. I'll trust him as long as my bills are paid. I'll trust him. As soon as we put anything to it, we don't trust him anymore. We simply are bartering and bargaining with God. Let me ask you this. Job said this: though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Does your trust go that far? Listen, before you shake your head and jump up and down in applause, be careful, because has there not been a time in the last year where, though he slay me, yet he didn't have to slay you? You stopped trusting him? Something far easier than that. I mean, we need to learn to trust in the Lord. Meaning what? Meaning whatever he says, wherever he goes, whatever he brings to bear in my life, whatever comes. You say, listen, I'm preaching this, and what about it's still on the table? I may find out I have cancer this week. I don't know. I may have a heart attack today. I don't know what the future holds. I can say in honesty that all of the past is under the blood and has been worth living and has been a joy. And if I died today, I'd spend the rest of eternity just writing a book about how God is. I don't know what's going to take place in the future. Well, you say, well, how can you trust? Listen, you need to make up your mind to trust him now. Trust in the Lord. That's present tense. Before I go into the new year, I need to find myself at a place with my God on my face and say, God, I want you to know, whatever happens this year, I trust you. I trust you. The truth of the matter is, we use the word trust with far, far too little meaning in it. It's simply, God, give me what I want, and you and I will be on good terms. God promised. God promised. You know he don't break promises. I would find out what those promises are. I would write those promises down. I would underscore them as I read through my Bible if I were you. Every once in a while, when the Holy Spirit brings one and it jumps off the page and he says to you, listen, today, that's your promise. This week, that's your promise. As you go through this valley, here's your promise. Underline it and make sure that you take note of it. I remember the story of a lady who, as she was about to pass, came and called the preacher, and he came in, and she had her Bible there beside her bed, and he said, would you like for me to read a passage to you? And she said, I wish that you would. And when he opened that Bible, he noted that in the margins of that Bible and on the backs and fronts of every page and up and down the center section, she had written two initials, TP, TP, TP. And he said, may I ask you, he said, what in the world have you done with your Bible here, and whose initials are those? And she said, oh, those are not initials. She said, those are all promises of God. And as I came through the course of my life, when I found one of those promises, I tried God out. And when I found his promises were true, she said, I wrote down true promise, TP, right there all through my Bible. And it was just covered, just covered. You understand, when we start living according to God's promises and trusting him, we'd be amazed how many promises apply to our life. Trust in the Lord, the scripture said. Do you really trust him? You trusted him when you got saved, or you're not saved. Now, what does that mean? I don't second guess my salvation. You say, well, you're not a very good Christian. There are probably days when that's true. And let me help you with that. I've got a mirror. I can show you the next person's having a hard time too if you come see me. We're all in that situation. We struggle some days to be the Christian we profess to be. But listen, my salvation, my eternal destiny is not dependent on how I feel and how I treat life. It's dependent on the goodness of God. And he has never failed. He has never faltered. He has always kept that promise. I'm as saved today as I was the day I trusted Christ. Tried and proven. TP. God's word is true. Trust in the Lord. Trust means to trust His promise. Not just to trust His promise, but to trust the fact that He can. You see, we expect God to observe His promise as long as it's one of those good promises. And then when the bottom drops out, we stop trusting God. But the truth of the matter is that while we were focused on the promise, He has the ability to do what He's promised. But when the bottom drops out, He's got the ability to fix it. To fix it. You know, the psalmist didn't say, I shall never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. He understood that God's promises were not always going to acquire for him wonderful, convenient circumstances. He understood that there was never going to be a place, or there was not going to be a place in his life where there weren't some tears going to come and some heartaches going to be. I'm not talking about a life that knows absolutely no problems and no difficulties. They are there, and God may call on you this next year to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know, but I know this. God can make the shadow of the valley of death non-offensive to the believer. He can make it a place for great delight to those that trust. He promised, and He can. You say, how does He do that? I don't know. If I could do it, I'd do it. But I can't. Only God can do that. I've been by enough bedsides over the course of the ministry to watch people die well and watch people die not so well. Now, sometimes it's a matter of pain, so I'm not going to say it's just a spiritual thing. Sometimes pain can rob you of the ability to pass peacefully. I understand that, but boy, I've seen some wonderful excursions from this life, so much so that I've said, Lord, let me go like that. Let me go that way. When it's time, I want to go. I don't know how it would be, but I understand this, that whether I can see visibly, whether I can say, boy, that's it, God can still get people through. God can still get them by. I'm thankful that death only lasts for a moment. Did you ever think about that? As bad and as grisly as death is, it only holds power for about a second. And then it's gone. It has no lasting and lingering power. You say, well, those people were sick. That's the illness. That's the problem they were dealing with. But death is only a momentary event. And when it's over with for the believer, it's on to better things forever. The truth of the matter is, I can trust Him not only because He promised, but because He can change circumstances. He can alter my reality. He can change me and help me be that way. We've talked about some that have gone through difficulties in life, and we talk about those, the Johnny Erickson Tatas and those that have been down those valleys, and we say, my, what great faith and what great faith. And I submit to you, you may have that faith. You don't know it because you've not been required to use that faith yet, but it may reside within you. I believe God gives grace as the burdens grow greater. He gives faith when the troubles are there. I think that we may not recognize what we have the ability or the capacity to endure or go through because we haven't needed it yet. I think when we look yonder, we say, oh, how could God do that? Oh, He can. He promised, He can, and He will. The Bible said, trust in the Lord. Let me ask you today, what's gone in your life this year that you kind of looked away and said, God, what are you doing? Why would you do that to me? Why does this have to happen to me? Lord, I don't like this. I don't appreciate what you've done here. Lord, I'm just telling you right now, it just doesn't seem fair that I and they, and Lord, I just want you to understand here, you're going to have to change a little bit because you're... Is that how you feel about it? Where's your trust? You understand, going into the new year, you just need to start right now and say, Lord, 365 days from now, I don't care what's happened, where I've been, what I've dealt with, how many smiles or how many frowns have been on my face, I'm going to make this a year where every hour of every single day I will trust you because, Lord, I know that you've promised to take care of me in every circumstance. I know that you can take care of me better than I can take care of myself, and I know that you will, by the time I get to the end of the year, give me the clarity to realize how good you've been. You say, how do I know that? Look back over the last year. Trust in the Lord, that requires an exercise of the heart, giving God the heart. One of the great writers wrote, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Faith means believing in advance what only makes sense in reverse. What does that mean? That means going this way and I'm looking at this obstacle and this thing that's going to be in my life. It's uncomfortable and I don't like it and I don't want to go there, but I'm trusting God. I'll trust in the Lord and I don't want to be here and this is not my best day. But when I get beyond it and I look back, I can say, thank God for that, because I recognize what it's done in my life. We know what we need to do. We need to learn to trust Him. Why? Because there may come some things in the course of your life in this coming year that you're not pleasantly surprised with. You're not looking forward to. You're not going to throw a party to commemorate. There may come some events and circumstances in your life this year when you say, oh God, why me? But I promise you that you can trust Him through those difficulties and beyond those difficulties and look back and say, thank God for what He did in my life. Tell you something that'll help you get a focus on this next year is just sitting down and committing to trust God no matter what. Number two, trust in the Lord, He said, with all thine heart, and lean is the next word. These words have great meaning. Lean not, in this case, to thine own understanding. You understand the position of our lean determines what'll happen or where we'll land if we fall? As a matter of fact, the position of our lean or the direction of our lean will determine whether we fall at all. We sing the song, what a blessedness, what a fellowship, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know, if I lean on this pulpit today, that's almost an absurd angle right there, isn't it? But I'm not going to fall. You say, why? Because what I'm leaning on has the ability to hold me. But you understand, when you lean on the things of this world, some of you are leaning on your bank account. Some of you are leaning on your smarts and your education. Some of you are leaning on your charisma. And you know what? All of those things will change over time. And everything you lean on will determine where you fall. You know what? Sometimes people fall into horrible circumstances and you see people that almost overnight ruin their lives. And you say, what in the world caused that? I didn't have any warning they would. It was the way they were leaning. You see, they were leaning on something, and when the devil pulled that away, down they went just as quickly as anything could bring them down. The truth of the matter is, I need to learn to trust the Lord, and then I need to learn to lean not to my own understanding. We expect and anticipate that God will always make perfect sense. And can I tell you, there's nothing further from the truth? If you're in a right relationship with the Lord, He'll baffle you most every day of your life. If you're walking in harmony with the Lord, there'll be things going on in your life that you'll have no understanding whatsoever. You'll say, what in the world is God doing? Don't raise your hand, but have you done that this week? You ever looked around and said, God, wait a minute. I thought this was going to happen. I thought it was going to go this way. I thought these events would take. Lord, I don't understand. Why that report? Why did this have to come? And we don't always trust in the Lord like we say we would, and we start leaning to our own understanding. I tell you, as a Christian, the worst thing you can do is try to figure things out. You say, why? Because you and I are not smart as God is. I have always learned that in retrospect, God's will always makes good sense. I have learned that looking back, God's will and God's plan always fits together everything the way it should. I have found looking back, there's always a smile when I see where God was and recognize what was going on in the course of life. Looking forward's a little different. I'm tending to lean to my own understanding. And when I look down there and it's a dark path and it's rather foreboding and there's some scary creatures down there, and I think, well, Lord, you know, I'm just not. You know, the thing that'll keep you from witnessing is the fear of man. Hello? Do you ever have one of those moments when you reach in your pocket and you got your thumb and your forefinger on a track and you thought, no. Because this guy's a woolly booger and he's going to eat me up, sure as a world. If I pull a track out of my heart, he's going to rip my head off, and that's what's going to happen. And I just don't know. I'm not real sure. And I think we ought to just be. And we always make the excuses and back slowly out of the situation. You say, what? You're leaning to your own understanding. You got it figured out in your mind. We're afraid of the boogeyman in the closet. We're afraid of the darkness. We're afraid of the little banging in them. All of those things that have nothing to do to bring fear. We fear them because that's the way we lean. We're scaredy cats. Truth of the matter is, I think someplace in heaven, there's probably going to be a remedial class. And it's going to be for people like you and me who God's going to sit down and show you what would have happened had we been bold enough and not allowed fear to control our exercise in faith. Do you ever think about who you might have led to Christ had you not been a scaredy cat? Had you not leaned to your own understanding? I remember the story of a fellow by the name of Kimmel who stopped in a shoe store years ago in Boston, and while he was trying on shoes, he felt the urge to be a witness, and he began to witness, and he witnessed to a fellow by the name of Dwight Lyman Moody in a shoe store and led a young man, just a late teens, led him to Christ. And Dwight Lyman Moody probably became the greatest soul winner of his generation. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a little boy. I think he was 12 or 13 when he showed up one night at a service in the community he lived in a blinding snowstorm, and nobody, I think there's only four or five people there, and the preacher preached anyway and preached like he was preaching to a house full of people, and that little boy trusted Christ as his Savior, and by the time Spurgeon's life was over, he was on average preaching to 30 to 50,000 people every Sunday morning. I wonder who you and I might have led to Christ had we not been fearful and leaned to our own understanding. Well, this is not a good time. This is not a good place. Well, I knew if we'd have talked, it would have gotten deeper, and I didn't have time to spend on the... And we've always got an excuse. Don't you know what we do very good? We lean to our own understanding. We lean to our own understanding because that's what suits us. The Bible said that in the last days that some would depart, and in that departure he talked about those that would forsake the assembling of themselves together in the book of Hebrews, and he said they would forsake the assembling of themselves as the manner of some is. It just became steady to just say, well, am I going to be there? Am I not going to be there? Am I going to... Boy, I hope God doesn't treat you like we sometimes treat God in our church attendance. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I understand the word faithful. Hello? I'm not getting on you about your church attendance tonight. I'm just telling you, why is it? Why is it that we can always find an excuse not to go, not to be there, not to be in our place? We can always find a reason. You say, I've got things going on in my life. Well, I wondered who that one person was who had things going on in their life. Somebody told me the other day, they said, I got kids. Well, I'm thankful I never had any. You say, well, preacher, things come up. I understand. So did the writer of Hebrews when he said, hey, don't let it happen in your life. You say, well, what causes that? You lean to your own understanding. You understand, I have never had a problem come up with a reason why I shouldn't go to church. And I'm the preacher. I can give you, I was up this morning about 5:30 and was looking through there. I typed my sermon this morning in my laptop computer. I got everything in there. I had this whole outline all in there, ready to go. I closed that thing up, said, thank God that's done. Let me move on to something else. Went on to work. I got to church and it didn't upload to my cloud storage. So much for the cloud. You say, what is that? I said back there in my office, I said, God, what are you trying to do to me? Now, I had already come to church, but if I could have ducked out conveniently, I might have done so. There's always an excuse. There's always a reason just to sit down and say, well, it's not right, and it's not fair, and it's there's always, in my own eyes, a justification. You understand, it's not about me justifying myself. It's about me justifying the dictates of this book and the will of God. It's trusting in the Lord and not leaning to my own understanding. Isaiah 55, verse number 8, God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We used to have a saying called my way or the highway. Amen. Let me help you. It's your way or God's way. God's way is the highway. He said, my way's higher than yours. You say, well, I understand you just. Well, I don't. I understand you don't. But God said, God said, I'll tell you, a good way to start this year is to put my trust in the Lord. Lord, no matter what comes right now, today, I'm going to tell you this. At the end of this year, I'm going to be able to say, I have trusted you every step of the way. And secondly, Lord, I'm going to be able to say that when it came to a opposite direction in our thinking, I didn't lean to my own understanding. I leaned to yours. I leaned to your word. I leaned, people say, I don't understand the Bible. And I'll tell you why, because you don't believe it when you read it. And so why should you need to understand it? I didn't understand Shakespeare till I took a class on Shakespeare. Okay? I thought Romeo was some kind of guy running around in funny clothes and, you know. I didn't know all that stuff. I didn't understand to be or not to be. I didn't understand wherefore art thou Romeo. I had to take a class. I had to commit myself and learn some things. And you say, did it help you? I don't know. As a teacher said, it helped me. I'm not sure. But I committed myself. I went through and made myself do something that I wasn't overjoyed about. As a matter of fact, if I'd have just gone to school when I was ready to go to school or was overjoyed, I'd still be in the third grade. Haven't gone every day, I'd still be in the third grade. The truth of the matter is, we've got an understanding. We've got a way we want to go. We've got a direction. We think that would be better for me. That would be perfect for me. That's what I want. And we don't lean to God's direction. Let me give you another one. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Trust, lean, acknowledge. You understand these words are vital for the course of a successful year. You want to have a good year? Acknowledge him, that he's there every place, every time, with every decision, with every difficulty, with every triumph, with every tear. God's there. You say, well, I don't understand that. I'll guarantee you there are places and times in the course of every year you think the Lord's forsaken you. You wonder what God's doing and why he's doing them. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We sing the song, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go. We wonder about those things. We wonder about why God's doing this and why God's doing that. And we don't always acknowledge his presence. I submit to you that if I would commit myself to trust, that if I would back away from my own understanding and lean on God's word and God's promises, and I would acknowledge that even today, in my worst trial or in my best victory, he is here in reality, in my place. I read a story the other day about a fellow was walking and somebody was talking with him because he was just known far and wide as just always had a good demeanor and always loved the Lord and seemed like he could see God and everything that went on. No matter what went on in his life, he could just say, well, God's good and that's what the Lord's doing. And as they walked with him into a little place to eat, he spied a penny on the ground and he reached over and he picked it up and he put it in his pocket with a smile. And the person who was with him said, do you realize that those pennies aren't worth anything anymore? That's just a waste of time for you to pick those up. You're just wasting your time. You'd have to pick up pennies for 20 years to have enough to even make it amount to something. He said, oh, I don't pick them up because they're worth money. And they said, well, what in the world? He said, you know what's written on that penny? In God we trust. He said, I've learned that God puts pennies in my pathway to remind me that I'm going to be in a place where I need to trust him. And he said, I pick up every penny that I can find when I'm walking here and there. And he said, God keeps me in memory that I've got to trust him or I'm not going to make it in the course of my life. Do you realize how many pennies we walk over every day? And it might be God's way of just telling you, hey, you're going to need to trust me here in a few minutes. I put this penny here in the parking lot to remind you in just a few minutes, things are not going to go your way. You just need to trust me. Sometimes we need to recognize that the course of my life is determined whether I am following his plan, and I don't always do that, but the happiness comes when I'm trusting him and following through that. All thy ways acknowledge him. Recognize he's there. He's there everywhere. There's never been a place where you as a Christian have been away from God. Acknowledge him, his presence. If I need something, it's nice to know he's with me. Amen. Boy, good time to break down is when you got a mechanic in the car. Amen? Good time to want to go out to eat is when you're with somebody who's got money and is hungry. Amen? Don't hang around people that are on diets if you want to go out to eat. Just find out who the dieting people are and say, listen, when you're off that diet, come see me. We'll do something. We'll get together. My people, call your people. Find somebody that looks hungry, somebody that loves to eat, and say, hey, what do you think about doing after church? I'm going to go with you. The truth of the matter is God has the direct path of bringing blessings into our life. I don't want to have to go find God when I need Him. Acknowledge Him. He's there. Acknowledge Him. He can fix it now. Acknowledge Him. He can help me right now. Acknowledge Him. He's there. Before you jump off the cliff, acknowledge God's there with an answer. Did you ever find yourself running into a wall you didn't have to run into? And only after you ran into the wall and you were picking up all the pieces, you realized, you know, God fixed all that. I didn't have to do that. I just didn't recognize He was there. You need guidance. How many times have we prayed after the fact rather than before the fact? How many times have you said, Lord, I wish I'd prayed about this? And rather than learning your lesson, you just keep praying that prayer after the fact while you're picking up the pieces. How about coming to the place where before the disaster, I say, Lord, listen, you're there. And I know you're right here with me right now. And I need you to guide me right now and help me right now. And Lord, I mean, if you got to put a penny on the ground, do something, but give me some guidance in the course of my life. And Lord, I tell you what, I'm not going anywhere till you tell me which way to go. How many times have you gone your own way and acknowledged your own ability and found yourself in a world of heart, a world of harm? Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and then notice His direction. He shall direct thy paths. I submit to you, if we would let God direct our paths, we'd be in far better shape than we find ourselves on any given day. You know, you live a while and you watch people and you watch people's lives and you see the flow of time and you begin to realize that as far along as we go, those mistakes that we made mean a whole lot more than they did maybe the day we made them. We deal without that stability. And sometimes when you push something off of its center and it gets worse and it oscillates bigger and bigger and bigger. And the truth of the matter is there's a lot of mistakes in life like that. There are a lot of things you can push a ball on a string off center and it will eventually come back to stability. But not everything's like that. I learned when I flew an airplane that there's dynamic and there's static stability. And I'm going to tell you something, you mess with stability one place on an airplane and it doesn't come back. It gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse until you hit the ground in flames. The truth of the matter is God's the one that brings that stability to our lives. And very often, if we're not careful, we don't allow Him to direct our lives. If life's going haywire, don't try to fix it. If life's going wrong, don't try to redefine it. If life's going wrong, don't make any sudden moves. Let God take care of it. Back out of the way and let God direct those paths. He shall direct thy paths. You know, we talk about direction. Direction, we understand, is somebody giving us instruction as to how to get from A to B. But direction is somebody instructing me how to get there the quickest way possible. Direct. See it? Direction. I want to go direct. I want to get there the quickest way possible. You know, I find a lot of Christians eventually get there, but they get there 10 years later than they should have. They get there with their third kid rather than their first and second kid. I find they shed a lot of tears before they get to where God wants them to be. And you know what we need? We need some direction. I want to get there direct. I'll never forget the day I went down to Fort Bragg to see something when my son was in the military and Eddie was with me back there. I suppose he remembers this too. We stopped at the gate where the guard was. You'd think if anybody knew on the base where you were supposed to be, the guard would know. And so we stopped and he came out and I should have known he was about 50, 60 pounds overweight. He wouldn't have run around the corner to hurt somebody or stop somebody. But he came over and I said, can you tell us how to, and I told him where we were going. And he said, yeah. He said, take this road up here, and he said, you come to the second right, take a right, you go down about a quarter mile, you turn back to the left, and you go real quick back to the left again. He said, then you go through 1, 2, 3 stoplights, and then you turn right, and then you go, and he went through all that stuff, and I rehearsed them back to him, said, that's, he said, yeah, that'll get you there. And then as we're getting ready to roll away, he said, that first right might be a left. Some of you have to think about that for a while. You understand that's the way the world directs us? That's the way we direct ourselves. We make plans and we say, well, I'm going to go here, then I'm going to go there, I'm going to turn, and then I'll be there. And then we forget that first left might be a right. You want your year to work this year? Number one, let your heart trust Him. Trust Him right now, no matter what comes in the course of the year. Commit yourself to trusting God. Secondly, lean not to your own understanding. It's okay to have a plan. We'll talk about that a little later this afternoon. There's nothing wrong with having a plan, but don't plan God out. Let God be that plan. Lean not. Always, wherever you go in the course of the year, look for God because He's always there. If you need His help, if you need His assistance, recognize He's with me. If I need Him to give, He's there. All thy ways acknowledge Him. And then follow His directions. And He shall direct thy paths. You know, I believe that you probably can look back on any disaster that you've had. On any disaster you've watched somebody else become a part of as a Christian. And you can probably find one of these places where they brought that disaster to bear. Where if they had just trusted God with it, they would never have had to worry about it. If they had just stopped leaning to how they had it all figured out, they wouldn't have been in the place they are. If they would acknowledge that even when they were in the worst part, God was there, then they just wouldn't acknowledge His presence. And then they would have just followed His directions. They would have averted and avoided the disaster that became part of their life. I hope the next year will be a great year for you. I hope it'll be one of the best. I'm planning on having another year just about like this one. Because this was great year. Great year. And I'm planning on having one a little better next year. You say, well, that's awfully bold. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to trust God. Trust Him no matter what comes in the course of the year. If it comes to be, you say, boy, I'm glad I wasn't you. Then I'm still going to trust God. But recognizing that's something that we do preemptively right now. Because if I don't, I'm always bouncing off walls as I walk through the course of my life, changing direction, trying to reevaluate, refigure, and all. You don't want to do that. Set your path. Go where you need to go. Do what you need to do. Be where God would have you to be. Trust Him. Let Him direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You never really know whether you're trusting the Lord till things get a little out of hand. And then you realize, I never really was trusting Him or I wouldn't be here. I need to learn to trust God. Maybe this morning you come and join some of these. I think some, all of us need to pray, Lord, help me. Help me to see God moving in my life this year. Wouldn't you love to have one of those stories that you've heard people tell at the end of next year? And say, let me tell you what God did this year. Let me tell you how God worked this thing out. Let me tell you the miracle that I saw God do in my life. Let me just talk about and brag about God. You say, I want to have that. You have to start here today. You don't get that retroactively. There's no way you can go back and fix yesterday or last week or the mess of 6 months ago. You can't go back and straighten that out and then give God the glory for it. But you can plan in the future with God in mind and see Him work on your behalf.